spiritual warfare today. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the Christian's enemy. Last week, the Christian's equipment. And the last piece of equipment we saw was the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the word for word is the unusual Greek word rhema. It's usually logos, but it's rhema, which means a specific word for a specific circumstance. So God gives you a word. And then we're going to see today in verse 18, we stopped at 17 in Ephesians 6, he begins by pray this. So you're given this word from God, a specific word to pray. That's your secret weapon. In spiritual warfare, just like in military conquests and battles, communication is so important. Moving of troops and supplies, changing of strategies. You have to have in military battle operations communications clear and open. So prayer is how we communicate with God and how He can communicate with us through His Word and in prayer. God wants those channels of communication to remain open. Let's look at our text. Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. And I love to go through Scripture, just verse by verse, phrase by phrase. That's how I like to communicate God's Word. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Someone said there are two types of Christians, those who pray and those who don't. So my purpose this morning is not to shame you or guilt you or make you feel bad about your prayer life. Mine isn't where I want it to be, and yours probably isn't either. So let's work with what we have. I think we all would say this morning, prayer changes things. And God, it seems, does very little outside of prayer. I mean, God could do everything and anything without our prayers. But it seems like there's so much that's tied into our prayers. Like He made the world to work with our prayers in mind. So many promises in God's Word are attached to prayer. You pray, you receive the promise. It's how Jesus stayed connected with God and how we do as well. So it's crucial we pray. And obviously Satan doesn't want us to pray. He would like us to do anything but pray. He hates it when Christians are praying and connecting with God and hearing God's voice and going by the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's our secret weapon. It's the last piece of equipment, and it's not often included in the spiritual armor, but I think it is a part of our spiritual armor, prayer. And it certainly is an offensive weapon. Again, I think we could agree upon God answers prayer. You've experienced answers to prayer in your life, certainly. I hope so. Occasionally it comes as a surprise. And my favorite answer to prayer story in the Bible, which happened to be a surprise, was found in Acts chapter 12. Peter's been arrested for preaching the gospel. He's in jail. He's going to be executed in the morning. And so the Christians gathered, probably in various places, but in Acts 12 it says in one location, the church gathered to pray for Peter. An angel came to Peter's cell in the middle of the night and supernaturally opened the chains, opened the doors, and Peter walked out. And he showed up at the house of the believers who had gathered to pray for him. He knocks at the door, and a servant girl opens the door and sees Peter standing there. Apparently, she must have shut the door right in his face and ran to tell all the people inside who were praying for Peter what she saw. And Acts 12, 15 to 16 gives the response. "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "Well, it must be his angel. He's already been executed, and maybe his spirit has come by to say goodbye." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him. They were astonished. What were they doing? They were gathered all night to pray for the very thing that happened, and yet they didn't believe it. Boy, can you relate to that? I can relate to that. Now, this is an urban legend, but it's a story of a bar that was set to open in a small town. And so one church in particular were very much publicly opposed to this bar coming to their town. So they gathered on many occasions, but publicly to pray against it. And their very public prayer was that God would bring lightning from heaven and strike the bar and burn it to the ground. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. And so the bar owner sued the church. And the pastor said, look, we're not responsible. And the judge hearing the case said, well, it looks like the bar owner believes more in prayer than the church. And we had something happen similar to that in Marysville, where Kath and I pastored previously. There was rumor that an adult bookstore was coming to our small town. And so many churches and Christians in that city gathered to pray against that. And you know what? It didn't come. I've had many answers to prayer, physical needs and various other things. You probably have too. And even prayed for some people. And some amazing things have happened. So I know God answers prayer. But I want to read to you this answer to prayer that I thought was really stunning. A missionary on furlough told this true story while visiting his home church in Michigan. While serving at a small field hospital in Africa, every 2 weeks, I traveled by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies. This was a journey of 2 days and required camping overnight at the halfway point. On one of those journeys, I arrived in the city where I planned to collect money from a bank, purchase medical supplies, and then begin my 2-day journey back to the field hospital. Upon arrival in the city, I observed 2 men fighting, one of whom had been seriously injured. I treated him for his injuries and at the same time talked to him about the Lord. I then traveled 2 days camping overnight and arrived home without incident. 2 weeks later, I repeated my journey. Upon arriving in the city, I was approached by the young man I had treated. He told me that he had known I carried money and medicines. He said, some friends and I followed you into the jungle knowing you would camp overnight. We planned to kill you and take your money and drugs. But just as we were about to move into your camp, we saw that you were surrounded by 26 armed guards. At this I laughed and said, I was certainly all alone in that jungle campsite. The young man pressed the point, however, and said, no, sir, I was not the only person to see the guards. My 5 friends also saw them, and we counted them. It was because of those guards that we were afraid and left you alone. At this point in the sermon, one of the men in the congregation jumped to his feet and interrupted the missionary and asked if he could tell him the exact day this happened. The missionary told the congregation the date, and the man who interrupted him told this story. On the night of your incident in Africa, it was morning here, and I was preparing to go play golf. I was about to putt when I felt the urge to pray for you. In fact, the urging in the Lord was so strong, I called men in this church to meet with me here in this sanctuary to pray for you. Would all of those men who met with me on that day stand up? The men who had met together to pray that day stood up. The missionary wasn't concerned with who they were. He was too busy counting how many men he saw. There were 26. Wow. So how do I pray? That's what I want to talk about this morning from what Paul says in verse 18 and 19 and 20 here. How do I engage my secret weapon of prayer? First point Paul makes here. Pray in the Spirit. Someone said we pray to the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit. Now, have you ever heard folks say, boy, I was really in the Spirit that day? What are they talking about? Are they a holy roller? Are they just emotional? As if emotion is bad? There's nothing wrong with emotion. But answers to prayer are not based on how loud you yell or cry. They're not based on emotion at all. They're based on being in the Spirit. And there are a couple possibilities for understanding. What does Paul mean by that phrase, in the Spirit? One possibility is you ask for the Spirit's guidance. And let me read Romans 8, 26 and 7. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with us, for us, with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So you ask the Holy Spirit, help me pray. Maybe He gives you a prayer language. Maybe He gives you words to pray. We know that Jesus in heaven intercedes for us. A second possibility in understanding this in the Spirit means depend on the Spirit's power. Depend on the Spirit's power. Jude 20. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. We sometimes ask God and the answer doesn't come immediately, so we set out to do it in our own strength. We try to accomplish the answer to prayer ourselves. We certainly should ask God for great things, then trust Him to answer in His timing, which sometimes requires waiting. Speak of a second thing from the text about prayer. Pray at different times, Paul says. Not just at meal times, not just at bedtime. That's usually what we do. That's our routine. Mix it up. Keep the lines of communication open between you and God throughout the day. Don't hang up the phone. Don't put God on hold. Pray at different times during the day. The psalmist said, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and He hears my voice. Pray when you're stuck in traffic. Pray when you're taking a quiet walk in the woods. Shoot up an arrow prayer. That is, whatever you're feeling and experiencing at the moment, just tell God about it. Or shoot up a flash prayer. That's when someone passes you on the street or in the store and you just have a burden for them and you throw up a flash prayer for them. Pray for an hour sometime. You know, like the hymn says, set aside a day occasionally, maybe for a prayer retreat. Pray morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. Thirdly, pray in different ways. Pray in different ways. This can help your prayer life from becoming dull and routine. Do something different. Get a book by Torrey or Murray on prayer and read it and absorb it and put into practice what those authors suggest. Do a prayer walk. This has really revolutionized my prayer life. It is the first thing in the morning to get up and go out for a walk and to use it as a time to pray, to connect with God. It's really blessed me and helped me not be as distracted as when I'm in the office or at home and, you know, the phone is busy and, you know, just things are happening in the home. Get outside and walk. Get a prayer partner. You know, your spouse, if you're married, is right there, hopefully ready and available for you. Prayer triplets. Get a couple of people to join you in prayer. The idea is to vary it. Vary your prayer life. If you don't know a pattern for praying, you're a new Christian perhaps, you could pray the acrostic ACTS, which is adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Start off with praising God. Tell Him how great He is. Maybe play some Christian music and praise and just worship God. And then you move into confession. Confess any sin that the Holy Spirit brings to your attention. And then receive forgiveness from God. The thanksgiving part is obvious. thank God for all that he's done for you. And be specific. Name those things. And the supplication, that means requests for yourself and for others. You could pray the Lord's Prayer. You could pray it word by word, or you could pray the principles of the Lord's Prayer. That's how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. You could pray the Psalms. You know, the Psalmistry was the original prayer book of the church. So many prayers in there. Such a huge range of emotions. Whatever you're feeling and going through, the psalmist, there's a psalm for you in there somewhere. You could pray other prayers in the Bible. There are many. Paul's prayers in to the churches. Ephesians 1 and 3 is an example. You could pray Nehemiah 9, Daniel 9, Ezra has some prayers. So pray other prayers in the Bible. Pray the Word of God, right? The rhema word, which is your secret weapon. You could pray on your knees. You could pray standing up. You could pray with your eyes open. You could pray with your eyes closed. You could pray in your prayer closet. You could go outside and pray. The idea is to mix it up. Be creative. Try something new to keep your prayer life fresh. Here's a fourth principle that Paul talks about here. Our secret weapon. Watch your attitude. He says, be alert and keep on praying. Alert is a military term. It refers to a sentry or watchman on the wall. And did not Jesus tell us many times, watch and pray? And certainly in the times we're living now, if ever we're praying, it's now. I'm just thinking the next months in our country, especially around the election time, you almost don't even need a prophetic word to tell you that, wow, things could be crazy in this country. September, October, November, and beyond. Boy, church, let's be praying. Lots of prayer is needed. If you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you can't quickly fall back to sleep, think of this as an appointment with God to pray rather than just keep tossing and turning and thinking about, hey, I'm laying here awake. Pray. Talk to God about it. Watchmen know that it's good to know what's happening out there so you can pray knowledgeably. The context is spiritual warfare. Paul wants us to be alert to Satan's schemes so we can resist them. And he says, keep on praying. This is the endurance piece of prayer. Don't give up when the answer doesn't come immediately. Like Jacob, he wrestled with the angel of the Lord until he blessed him. He wasn't going to let go. I've cited George Mueller many times. I just love that man and his ministry of the orphanages he ran in England. He had 5 friends that he prayed for 55 years for them to come to Christ. 3 of them came fairly quickly within 10 years. One friend he prayed for 55 years for that friend to get saved, and he finally did. The 5th friend, Mueller, died before this man came to Christ, but he came to Christ shortly after Mueller's death, as inspired by all his prayers for him. God asks you to endure, to keep on praying, because he wants to know, are you serious about this thing? Or is it a passing fad for you? Do you really mean business with God? That you will get down and get dirty in prayer. I think of my top prayer life as a brand new Christian. It seemed like crazy to me. I thought, I prayed for something and it almost seemed like the next day it happened. And I think God was answering those prayers for me as a new believer to encourage me that he's real, he's there, he hears. That would help my walk. But as I matured as a Christian, and probably that's been your experience as well, it doesn't happen automatically and quickly always. So we must learn patience in prayer. It's like God tests us. Abraham, he prayed for an heir. And he was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Moses, it took 40 years to lead the people of Israel through the wilderness and into the promised land. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, he told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. In not giving up, we are learning to love God more and more. He's not a Pez dispenser. He's not the genie in the bottle that we rub the bottle and he poofs and answers our every command. He is a person who wants to have a real relationship with you. And your prayer life is a big part of that ongoing daily walk and learning to know and love God more and more. But I think we have to say something about unanswered prayer as we're talking about prayer here, because that can be a deal breaker for people. They can stop praying altogether when God doesn't answer an important prayer. Someone said wisely, the purpose of unanswered prayer leads us from hearsay to heart sight, from knowing about God to knowing Him. It deepens our trust. And so a great biblical example of an unanswered prayer, I think, is Paul's thorn in the flesh. What was that? Was it a spiritual enemy? Was it a physical enemy? Was it a disease? Was it like malaria? Was it migraine headaches? Was it an eye problem that caused him splitting headaches? Was it a demon? Was it physical opponents like the Judaizers? Yes. Whatever it was, that prayer wasn't answered immediately like Paul wanted. But listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:8-9. You're probably familiar with this text. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. There is a deep truth here that we need to absorb, that God's grace is the answer to all our prayers. More of Him. He will meet that need sooner or later with Himself. And of course, ultimately in heaven, His grace is always sufficient. If you're praying for a mate and you're waiting and waiting, His grace is sufficient. He's enough. He's all you need. If you're praying for healing to happen and it's not happening, His grace is sufficient. Maybe it will happen soon or maybe ultimately in heaven. But He's enough. If you're praying for guidance, what should I do, Lord? This problem is so perplexing. His grace is sufficient. He will keep you in perfect peace as you wait. That's why Jesus said in the garden, Thy will be done. A prayer of acceptance. God's will is always what's best for you. You can trust Him in that. So we could stop demanding and start depending. The fifth thing Paul says in this text on prayer is pray for all Christians. Yourself. Pray for your family, your relatives, your friends, your church family. Christians in Mechanicsville. Christians in Hanover County. Christians in Virginia. Christians in America. Christians around the world. Why Christians? Because they can accomplish God's will better than unbelievers can. Yes, God can and does use unbelievers. But Christians are hopefully more open to God than unbelievers. They're listening. They want to please Him, whereas the world doesn't. So instead of always praying for myself and my problems, how about I pray for other people, other Christians? Lord, send laborers into your harvest so that we can see the great revival that we so desperately need. Ask people to pray for you. If you don't ever ask people to pray for you, why not? Are you too proud? You're depriving someone of a blessing that they can participate in an answer to prayer for you. And you're losing out on a testimony that you can give. Paul, the apostle, asked the Ephesian Christians to pray for him, that he would preach fearlessly like he should. He needed prayer, and you don't. You're stronger than him. The sixth thing he says in verse 19 is pray specifically. He gives and asked for a specific request that God would give him just the right words to say as he's sharing the gospel. So when you're doing or saying something really important, ask God, ask others, pray for me. This is really important, what I'm about to say or what I need to do. So that means telling your prayer partners what you need. You may have to open up and be vulnerable. That's okay. Informed people can pray more effectively and efficiently for you if they know what you need. And then, of course, let the person know when the prayer has been answered. Sometimes we forget and leave them out there hanging. Boy, that encourages me and probably encourages you when you've been praying for something for a year for somebody and then they say, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. God really moved on my behalf. It's like, I've been praying for that for a year and I didn't even need to be. Use our church's prayer chain. Use our church's prayer list. Create your own prayer list. Use the Salvation Box right here in front of the pulpit where our team can pray for your unsaved loved one. Finally, back to verse 18. Did you notice the word all there? John Bunyan called this the allness of prayer. Prayer is big. Prayer is all-compassing. It's universal. It's how God's will gets done. I want prayer in my life to move from some importance to all importance. From I'm praying once in a while to I'm always in an attitude of prayer. From I pray on some occasions to all occasions. I want to share this little quote with you from David Brainerd, who was Jonathan Edwards' son-in-law. And it's from his journal. Brainerd was a missionary to Native Americans. And it's very deep. I just love Brainerd's heart here. He says, in the afternoon, God was with me of a truth. Oh, it was blessed company indeed. God enabled me so to agonize in prayer that I was quite wet with sweat, though in the shade and a cool wind. My soul was drawn out very much for the world. I had grasped for multitudes of souls. I think I had more enlargement for sinners than for the children of God, though I felt as if I could spend my life in Christ for both. I had great joy in communion with my dear Savior. I think I never felt in my life such an entire weanness from this world and so much resigned to God in everything. Oh, that I may always live to and upon my blessed God. It's just a beautiful expression of this man's faith and his walk with Christ. So personal. Now, I've heard this said. Satan doesn't mind you praising, but he hates you praying. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, I don't think he wants you praising God either. But I do believe that he doesn't want you praying. And he will do anything and everything he can to distract you. Prayer is your secret weapon. So get it out and use it against the enemy. So why don't we do that? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the practical teaching in your word on prayer. Our secret weapon. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual and mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Thank you, Lord, for the spiritual weapons that you give us to engage not humans, they aren't our enemy, but spiritual beings in high places. They're our enemy. So let us get that sword of the Spirit and let us use our secret weapon, prayer, often. May we, each of us here, walk more closely and deeply in our faith in you and in our communication with you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.